Right, well, good morning. My name is Stephen. I'm one of the members here at East Hammersmith Baptist Church. And those of you that have perhaps been around the church for a while will know that I do occasionally stand at the front and give the talk, the sermon, whatever you want to call it. And the way it works is usually I receive an email from the guys who put the services together saying, is there any chance you can do the talk on a particular day? So they emailed me and said, is there any chance you can do the talk for today? And I looked at kind of what's going on work-wise, home-wise, and thought, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, put me down for it, not a problem. What I forgot to do was to ask which day it was and what the topic was initially. And then they say, what is it? And they go, it's the gift day. It's the day when you've got to kind of, you know, talk to people about giving money to the church. And, oh, see, that's always the difficult one. It's always a difficult talk to have to give. Always remember to check first next time. However, I also wanted to just start off and say, if you are visiting us or you've not been here for very long, please don't panic, okay? This might be the point at which you think, see, I know what these churches are like. They're always after your money. They're always asking you to give money. We're not going to lock the doors and not let you out until you've given anything. That's not going to happen. But what I am hoping is that through what I know I've been challenged about as I put this talk together, we can perhaps think about giving a bit differently. Perhaps think about our giving of money today on the gift day, actually giving money throughout the year, because there's lots of people that give money to the church regularly throughout the year. See that a bit differently. And actually also not just monetary gifts, because giving takes lots of different forms. And just one thing I'm very conscious of just recently is the giving of kind of time to each other. And I'm not going to kind of do too much on that as we go through the rest of the talk, because the focus is on the kind of gift day. But I think it's worthwhile just mentioning at the start that actually gifts can also take the form of just spending time with people, in a church context, praying with people. That actually is a gift as well. So as I said, although I'm going to focus on kind of monetary gifts, don't forget that as well. So the gift day. What I want to do as well before I get into this in too much detail is to talk a little bit about why we have a gift day and what particularly the gift day that we are holding here is all about. Now, if you are a regular attender here or a member here, you might well be aware of this. You might well have had a letter to remind you about it, but you might just be visiting or you may not kind of remember what it's all about. Well, we agreed at the kind of church meeting a while ago that we were going to use the gift day last year, this year and next year, because we do hold one annually, to fund a couple of very specific things. In particular, Simon, who isn't here today, but our team leader, we agreed that we would fund his training to become an accredited minister, which he started this week. So he's been at college this week, starting that process. We were also very aware that when it came to the staff team, that we had a need to not only fill the time that Simon would need, but also Steph, our assistant minister, is looking to retire soonish, and therefore she needed to cut back a little bit on what she was doing, and it was going to leave a bit of a hole in terms of the sort of manpower, if you like, that we have. So we agreed as a church that we'd also fund another member of staff, and that is the lovely Phil, or Philippa. She's not in the room because she's out the back helping with the children's work. You might well have seen her at the front. She quite often leads the services. So she's now been working for a while, and basically the gift days we agreed would fund that very specifically. So that's what today is all about. But actually what I want to do is start with what is in some ways quite a tough question. When it comes to giving money specifically to the church for today, how do you really feel about it? I know when I was planning this talk, I was particularly challenged by God because, if I'm honest, there are some times when I don't even think about what I'm giving to church. The reason is, personally, I give to the church via a standing order. So what happens is I get paid by the firm that I work for, money goes into the account, it just goes straight back out to the church. I don't even really think about it a lot of the time. It just happens. If I'm honest, other times as well, I kind of look at what I'm giving to the church and think, oh, I could do some other stuff with that. I could perhaps go on holiday. I could perhaps decorate a room that I'm looking to decorate. I could perhaps be thinking about a different car. And I wouldn't go as far as saying resent it, but actually there are times when I sit there and I think, oh, see, there's that money going again. And so, as I said a few moments ago, I was really kind of challenged about my attitude towards the giving. And just to go back a little while in kind of what's happened in church, during September, we had a kind of series that was called Singing a New Song. If you weren't able to be here or you weren't here at the time and you have access to the internet, you can go onto our website and listen to the talks. I thought they were great. I'm hoping I'm now not doing the speakers an injustice here, because I'm basically going to try and summarize their 3 weeks into one sentence. So there is a lot more detail. You can go on the internet and find that. But if I was going to try and boil it down into kind of one sentence, it was to see things in a different way, see things in a more positive way. And actually, that's what I want to try and challenge us all, myself included, about our giving. Giving to church in terms of money, but also giving in terms of, as I said, that time and sometimes the praying for each other. So, obvious silly question, what's this? It's going to come up on the screen. I'm not trying to catch you out, okay? It's a snooker table. It is a snooker table. I mean, what on earth is he doing? This is all a bit strange. Well, I want to tell you a story about a snooker table that I had when I was younger. It was probably when I was about 10, so not that long ago, obviously. And in the run-up to Christmas, probably about now, I was doing that thing that a child does and really pestering my mum and dad about Christmas presents. And in particular, I told them that I really needed, not a snooker table actually, I really needed a handheld computer game. And this is where I am going to show it was actually quite a while ago. This was way before the days of things like Nintendo DSs or anything like that. Way before smartphones or anything like that. This was actually what I wanted. Something called a Firefox game. Okay, so you had this kind of little screen, little joystick, and I thought, I really need one of those. Okay, so that was what I was completely convinced I needed. However, unbeknown to me, my mum and dad had brought the snooker table, and it was actually in our neighbour's house. It was being stored in the run-up to Christmas. And I found out afterwards, a few years later, my mum told me they were that close to sending the snooker table back from where it came from and get me one of those instead. And I'm actually really glad they didn't. Now, why am I really glad that they didn't? Well, actually, that snooker table was one of my best ever presents that I ever got, okay? And I would say it wasn't just for me as well. You see, the snooker table took on many different kind of forms almost. So, yes, it was a snooker table. And actually, you think, well, you know, why was that so special? Well, one of the reasons was it actually gave me time with my dad. So my dad used to work up in London, so he commuted up to London. So he used to leave very early in the morning, come back relatively late at night. During the summer, the only way I really got to see him was to go to the cricket club, because he played cricket Saturday and Sunday. He also was the groundsman. He was also the club secretary, so he was there a fair amount. But the snooker table was a time that I did get with him. Okay, so yeah, we played a lot of snooker, but it gave me time with my dad. It actually gave me time with lots of other people as well. So it gave me time with friends, with other family. It kind of almost became a little bit of a social hub for the house. It was in the extension we had at the back of the house, and it was a really kind of social thing that we had. Now, you might be sat there going, I'm not quite sure where this is going, Steve. I'm not quite sure what you're doing with this, because I was kind of expecting for you to talk about on a gift day, maybe a gift that you've got in the past, maybe from one of your children. I've got three boys. And actually, that gift was kind of small in monetary value, but it meant a huge amount to you. And you thought, that's where I was going to go with this. Thinking, where are you going with this? You talked about it being a snooker table, but what other uses did it have? Well, I mentioned that the snooker table was in the back of our house. And so it was up all the time. We managed to inherit two wooden boards, actually from the cricket club. And they fitted perfectly on top of the snooker table. And you say, okay, so that then acts as like a cover for it. Well, yes, but it also made a great table tennis table. So you could then put a net onto it, get two bats, became the table tennis table. So it was the kind of social hub, then became a table tennis table. Also, where it was at the back of the house in this extension. And my mum and dad have got this lovely garden. It's about 100 and odd foot long, lovely lawn on it. So whenever there was a kind of family event, like my nan and granddad's 50th wedding anniversary, all the family would come to our house and they'd have like a garden party, assuming the sun was shining, which it did most of the time. So what on earth was the snooker table then? Well, actually, it became a place to put the food. So you then put boards on, put the food on, and it was just a really neat way of having a big table with all the food on. And then, of course, when you're finished with lunch, what you're then able to do is to take the boards off, and you can then have, again, that kind of family social time. So the snooker table became a whole lot more. It became actually a really big part of what we did as a family. And actually, when we did get rid of it in the end, I think I made a bit of a mistake, actually. I sold it to our next door neighbour who had younger sons, thinking, well, I've got a bit of cash for it, that's great. The reason I think I made a mistake is I probably ended up spending way too much time in their house still playing on it. I was kind of, oh, can I just come around and play again? But basically, that snooker table was a massive part of what we did. Now, what is the point of that? Well, as I said at the start of the talk, I think it's easy that we think a day like today is just kind of giving money to fund that specific thing that we think about with the gift day. As I said, it's about training Simon, having Philippa on the staff team, because that's very specifically what we said the gift day was about. And sometimes thinking outside of that, the regular giving. Sometimes it's easy to think that what we're doing with the regular giving is we're just kind of keeping the church going. That's what we're doing. We're keeping the lights on. We're keeping the heating on. We're just making sure it keeps going week on week. But maybe actually, God wants to get us to think differently about what we give to the church, about what we might be thinking about giving today and or regularly. Because you could see it that way. You could see it as it's just running the church and paying for Simon's training. And that's what we do. That's what it is. That's all it is. Just like that was just a snooker table. That's all that it is. Or perhaps you can see that actually, with the money we give, it actually does a whole lot more. There are lots of different things that our money enables the church to do. I can't go through everything, okay? But here are just a few things that I thought about in preparing the talk. It allows us to run things like Storehouse. And those of you that have been around the church for a while will know the amazing stories we hear about the impact that Storehouse has, that wasn't easy to say. But in terms of, if you've not heard about it, it's where we're able to take some furniture that some people don't no longer have a need for and give it to people who really do have a need for it. And it's an amazing way that we can bless people around our community. It also allows us to be part of the night shelter project over the winter, so it's going to be starting soon. And we may say it allows us to keep the heating on. Well, actually, for something like night shelter, that's a massive deal. It means that people can come here and they can have a bed for the night, they can get a meal, whereas otherwise they'd be out on the street sleeping rough. It allows us to run things like Messy Church, where families who perhaps wouldn't ordinarily have any kind of contact with the church, it gives them the chance to come, they get a meal, they get to hear something about God. And yeah, of course it allows us to run things like This Morning. So as I said, it's not just keeping the church running. There's lots of things that we achieve. And actually, it's not just here as well. It goes a lot further than that. So what we give goes out a lot further. So we do support the work of people like Tear Fund, who, when there is a disaster around the world, we will support that financially. And we'll say, well, actually, we want to try and help with that. We do also support Christian Solidarity Worldwide for the people that are being persecuted for their faith around the world. And then there's also the work that goes on in Sierra Leone. Now, there's two reasons I'm going to talk a little bit more about that specific one. One is because kind of I've been there. And so it means that when I can talk about the impact that what we all give has, I can actually talk about it very much from a personal point of view. There's a second reason as well that their attitude towards giving, I think, can be very different to ours. And I want to show you a little bit of that as well. So there is a guy out there called Abs, who some of you may know, an amazing guy, does an amazing amount of work. And the money we give here, we use to support the work that he does over in Sierra Leone. And it's very easy to sit here and say, doesn't really make a difference. You know, what I give, I'm just running the church. It's not making a difference at all. I can tell you, as I said, from personal experience, it makes a massive difference. So last time I went there, back in April of this year, we attended the graduation ceremony of the latest kind of young people who had graduated through the DST, the Dorothy Springer Trust. And essentially, they've gained sort of skills, usually computer qualifications. And the big thing about the Dorothy Springer Trust is they also help them get jobs, get work. And they had one of their previous graduates came to kind of talk about the impact it had on her life, to just show how big an impact it can have. So this young lady was amazing, okay? So she stood up and she basically said, I had absolutely no hope for the future. She basically had one leg. She'd lost one leg, unfortunately, to a landmine. She was a farmer's daughter. There was a landmine on the farm, and it took one of her legs off. And she said, I had absolutely no hope. What hope could a woman, first of all, sounds horrible, but in Sierra Leone, that's already putting you at a slight disadvantage. With one leg, what on earth was I going to do? But she said, I got a place at DST. I graduated. I got a job. And she said, and now, as you do, I'm looking to now just set up my own fashion company. Now, actually, we are all part of that. So it's very easy to say, I just give money to keep the lights on. But actually, we're part of amazing things like that, part of amazing things that can go on. Now, as I said, the other reason I wanted to talk a little bit about Sierra Leone is to just talk about that slight difference in attitude. When we had the series about singing a new song, Rob talked a little bit about almost our attitude coming to a service on a Sunday. And I know I've been challenged when I've been to Sierra Leone, first of all, to sit through one of their services of 3 to 4 hours. It's usually 3 to 4 hours you're sat there for. So, and it's on hard wooden pews as well, so that's a little bit of a challenge. But the really more seriously the challenge you have is just their attitude towards, first of all, going to church. To them, it's just the most amazing part of the week. It's, you know, they get dressed up, they want to sing and praise God, they want to dance, which for an Englishman is very uncomfortable, but they want to do that. They just treat it just the biggest event of the week almost. They also have a very different attitude when it comes to the offering. Now, I'm about to show you a video clip of when they take the offering. Couple of things I want to say about it. First of all, you can't see it, but there's actually 3 different offerings happening at the same time. So they don't just have one, they have 3 different ones they do. And you always need to keep just a little bit of extra money as well, because they usually spring one on you by surprise as well. So it's usually like another 4th or 5th one. But also, and I think more specifically with this clip, it is their attitude. I do apologise for the sound quality up front, okay? The reason being, first of all, I took the video on my phone, and secondly, the Sierra Leoneans do like to just push all the kind of volumes up to the top, okay? So there's a lot of distortion that goes on, okay? That's what they do. So can we just watch this clip, please? So I'm hoping, yeah, it's very short, but I'm hoping you can see within it, it was all about praise your name. It was all about, you know, you give us for our needs and we want to give back. The majority of people in that congregation, if we are honest, do not have much. But out of that not very much, they still want to give. They want to give to what's going on. Now you might also be sat there going, this is all great, but what does the Bible say about it? She's not mentioned anything about the Bible yet, see. What does the Bible say about it? And there's loads of passages about giving. And some of you that have been around church for a while might be thinking, oh, here comes the one about tithing. It's not. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole idea of tithing if you've never heard about it in a moment. The passage I was actually given is one that's a little bit of a different one when you think about giving. And it's from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 to 15. It's going to come up on the screen there. And so it says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it might be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. So this was written to by a guy called Paul to a church in a place called Corinth. And what struck me here when I read it was about that kind of almost difference in attitude about what perhaps I need to think about in terms of my giving. And if we look at the verses we've got up here, the ones that have been kind of put into a slightly different colour, the bit that kind of really struck me is the bit about whether there's willingness and about have you got willingness to give that gift. Now, what he then goes on to say is about the gift being acceptable, not only about the willingness, but about it being according to what one has rather than what one does not have. And this is the bit that's the really kind of tricky bit. This is the bit that people look at and says, well, what's the right amount? You know, what should I be thinking of giving? Should I be thinking of giving at all? Well, this is where I want us to, again, perhaps have a different kind of thought or thinking about this. I mentioned tithing a minute ago, and those of you that have been around church for a while will kind of know that idea of tithing. If you've not been around church and you don't know what on earth that word means, it means that kind of a lot of people say, well, whatever income you have, you should give 10% to the church. Now, if I'm honest, when you hear that, I often go, 10%? That's a big percent, okay? That's a lot of what I get as my income. But actually, we've talked before in EBC about having perhaps a slightly different view of that, in as much as, and I want you to hear me correctly on this, the principle of giving is the really important part. That's the really important part. There's a principle of that actually we want and we think it's right. And actually, I want you to feel like it's a really good thing. It's an exciting thing to be part of, to give money, not just to run the church, but actually to be part of all those amazing things that we do. And actually, that 10% figure, you might hear it and like me, and go, oh my word, that's a really big figure. Well, actually, start with a different percentage. Start with a different amount. And then say it's the principle. And then what I want to do is to be able to change that and increase it at some point. Maybe you need to think about it, as we said, in that slightly different way. Now, I think it's also important before I get towards the point of kind of closing and get us to think about this, to recognise that there are lots of us sat here at the moment who do give very generously to the church. And I think Rob, our treasurer, would go and say, thank you very much. But I think more importantly, God would want to say, thank you, because it enables us to achieve so much with what you give. But as we come to the point of thinking about a response to, hopefully a little bit of what I believe God wants us to hear today through what I've said, I want us to think about maybe a few kind of questions. They're not going to come from the screen, I'm just going to say them. Maybe you used to be that person who gave willingly and cheerfully, but that's changed. Maybe like me, you're that person who maybe doesn't even think about it, that you set up the standing order, it's been there for a while, and that's just how it is. Maybe you're the person who, like me at times, thinks, you're giving that money to church and I could do all these other things with it, I could do so much else with it. Kind of almost slightly resent it. As I said, resent might be too strong a word, but you're almost like that. You're feeling that way today. Think about it differently. Okay, think about how, like, that snooker table became so many different things in our family. How actually what we give, thinking financially primarily on a day like today, what we give is actually far more than keeping these lights on, keeping the heating going, funding Simon's training. Actually, it enables us to achieve so much here and actually much further afield.